How's everybody's week? Good. How many had a great week? Show of hands. How many had a okay week? How many had a week? Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. Well, you're all in the right place because we get to worship Jesus together. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves that we don't got to, we get to. It is a privilege, and there are days that I have to remind myself that several times. I get to do this, and I have a wife that is so amazing at giving me fresh perspective, let's call it that. Yeah, and she says, Ginther, you get to do this. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. And she's all sitting up here. That's right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Can we open in prayer? I don't know about you, but I need prayer. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here together in your presence today. And God, I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move freely among us, teach us, challenge us, and change us. Lord, this message shared today, I pray that it is your words and not mine. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me and let everything said this morning bring you glory. We come against every distraction and every scheme of the enemy this morning. Anything that he would try to do to distract us or steal our focus. God, I pray for your peace to be in this room, to fill it, and that your truth would be able to take root into our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen and amen. You know, it's interesting in the life of a pastor, the things that you hear and see and get to be a part of. But even as a Christ follower, I found myself kind of with a broken heart to see how quickly people can go from zero to angry so quick. Everywhere we look, right? If people are tense and they're defensive and ready to explode over the smallest thing. And I put in my notes, it was just a random thought, but it stayed in my notes. It's like we are living in the golden age of ticked off. Would you agree? Outrage isn't just an emotion anymore. It's a full-blown hobby. Some people collect stamps. Others collect vinyl, you know, vintage vinyl records. But the church, we collect things to be offended about. Think about it. Politics, offended. Sports, offended. Grammar, your versus your, greatly offended. Pineapple on pizza. That divides families, y'all. It does. And the answer is yes, it belongs. Jesus is pro-pineapple. It says it in 2 Opinions chapter 3, verse 16. It's there. Just ask me. But everywhere we look, someone's mad. Turn on the news. That's a 24-hour, 24/7 rage fest, right? It's a rage-a-thon. You go on social media and you scroll there. It's a digital coliseum where everybody's throwing stones. Order a sandwich the wrong way. Oh, my. And somebody's ready to write a Yelp review in all caps. That means you're yelling, right? You never ever, you guys don't use Yelp, do you? What's Yelp, Pastor? But let's be real. We live in a culture that it is, you're not accidentally offended, right? You're actually waiting to be offended. It's like a sport. Coming up next, the 100-meter dash to total moral outrage, right? Sponsored by Twitter. But here's where it stops being funny. We have become a society of the perpetually outraged. And we don't just tolerate it. We've normalized it. In fact, we've celebrated it. We've built an entire online ecosystem around outrage, where the goal isn't grace and understanding, but taking sides, pointing fingers, and canceling people who fall short. It's not just a social trend. It's a spiritual trap. Because every time that we cling to an offense, our heart grows a little bit colder and a little bit harder. And we forget something so crucial. We forget that we serve a Savior who, he would never cancel us. I was talking to my son and his roommate yesterday, and we were talking about the cancel culture, and how it just rages. But we serve a Savior that wouldn't cancel us. He forgave us. I read this book a while back by Brant Hansen called Unoffendable. And he says in this book, you can be right, or you can be free. Think about that for a minute. That line hits deep. You can be right, or you can be free. You can hold on to your right to be mad. You can. Or you can let it go and walk in freedom, and it's the freedom that Jesus died for. Right? But you can't do both. And God backs that up in his word, where in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, says this: everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Can I just say that that's not just a nice verse? That should be a wake-up call. It should be a wake-up call for all of us. Because most of what we would call righteous anger doesn't produce anything that God wants. If our outrage, and I believe that there are times in a Christian's life that outrage is okay, but if our outrage isn't building his kingdom, then maybe it's tearing ours down. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to stop letting offense and anger steal our peace, our joy, and our witness. What if I told you that offense is optional? Whew, it got so quiet in here. It's optional. Today, I want to challenge us, myself included. I am preaching to the preacher. But I want to challenge us to explore what it really looks like to live unoffendable. Not because people are going to stop saying hurtful things, because that's not the truth. Not because the world will suddenly get nice. But because you can stop letting offense own you. You don't have to be another casualty of a culture obsessed with outrage. You don't have to live angry, bitter, or defensive. Jesus didn't just die for our sins. He died so we could not be offended. He died for that as well. Because when we live unoffendable, and I believe this wholeheartedly, I haven't mastered it, but I believe it wholeheartedly, when we live unoffendable, you don't just walk in peace, you walk in power. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. I'm just reading a portion of it. It says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. What Paul is saying there is, the world will press me, but the world doesn't shape me. The Lord shapes me. Picking up what I'm throwing down? If you are, say, uh-huh. So how do we do this? How do we actually live unoffendable in a world that seems addicted to outrage? Well, it's not easy, but it is absolutely doable. And the secret isn't found in trying harder. It's found in surrendering deeper. Surrendering deeper. So I'm going to share with us three principles straight from the Word of God that show us how to live unoffendable. If you're ready, turn to your neighbor and say, ooh, this is going to be good. Do you believe it? I'm going to go on record to say, I may offend you. And if that's the case, you really need to hear this. First principle is this: receive grace. Receive grace. You cannot give what you have not received. Before we can extend grace to others, we have to remember the grace that has been poured out on us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. When I remember what Jesus has forgiven me of, my selfishness, my pride, my failures, the ugly sin that I have committed in my life, when I remember that, how can I withhold forgiveness from somebody else who has offended me? I remember hearing about a man who was wrongfully imprisoned for over 20 years. And eventually DNA evidence came out and it finally cleared him. And when reporters asked him, aren't you angry? He said, I've lost too many years to bitterness. If I don't forgive, I'm still in prison, just without bars. That's powerful. Because the truth is, family, offense locks you up. Not the other person, you. It locks you up. You're in prison. But when we remember the grace that found us, you can then extend the same grace to others, and that is where freedom begins. Some of you have carried hurt from words that have cut deep. Maybe from a parent, a friend, maybe a church family member. And you thought they don't deserve forgiveness. And maybe they don't. But neither did you. Neither did we. We don't deserve the forgiveness that Christ gave us. And yet God forgave us anyway. And I don't know about you, but I am extremely grateful that while I was still caught up in my sin, God sent his son to die on a cross for me out of grace. Every offense that you let go is an opportunity to mirror the mercy of God. So before you post, before you react, before you respond, pause and remember your remind yourself that I have been forgiven way too much to be offended. The second principle is release others. It's one thing to receive grace. It's another thing to release it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. It seems like Paul is creating this pattern, right? We saw the video this morning. It talked about we are the church. And Paul, through his epistles, of teaching those letters that he wrote to those churches, teaching them how to live in Christian life, right? How to live this Christian life out. And he says here to the church of Colossae, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That word bear is a pretty interesting word in the Greek, and it means to carry it. Not to carry the offense, but to carry the relationship. Don't carry the bitterness, carry the person in prayer. It reminded me of a story of Corrie Ten Boom. She was a survivor of a Nazi training camp, concentration camp, and once told this story of seeing one of her former guards years later. He had come up after she spoke, he had heard her speak on forgiveness and said, Fraulein, that's German, by the way, not very good German, but it's German. Fraulein, I've become a Christian, and I know that God has forgiven me, but I want to hear it from your lips. Will you forgive me? Corrie said she froze and that her blood ran cold. This man had been cruel, even monstrous. And in that moment, she prayed silently, Jesus, I can't forgive him. You can. She said she lifted her hand towards his, and as she did, she felt the power of God's Spirit surge through her body, and she forgave him. See, that's what it looks like to release someone. It's not denying the hurt, it's surrendering it to the only one strong enough to heal you from it. Personal story. I can't remember if we were, Charity and I were just dating or we were married, but one of her sisters, I worked at an after-school program in daycare when I was in Bible college because it filled a credit and it also worked with my schedule, but I loved it. And Charity had told her sister Esther that I worked there, and she goes, I wouldn't trust any man that worked at a daycare. He's got to be a pedophile. And as you can imagine, that devastated me and infuriated me. And for years, I don't even know how many years, every chance I got, I would make fun of her. I would talk poorly about her. I wouldn't look at her. And it imprisoned me. I can't even tell you the depths that it angered me. And a number of years later, several years later, we were at a family. It was all of her siblings and their families. We used to get together every 2 years to go do a vacation together. And we were on the Oregon coast. And we had been there a couple days. And I had set up for the brother-in-laws and myself a deep-sea fishing trip and crabbing. And I was so pumped. And the night before, I found out that Esther and Jeremy, her husband, were coming the next day. And I'm like, yes, I'll be fishing. I want to see them. It'll be exciting. And in the middle of the night, I got a gallstone attack. Yeah. God has got a great sense of humor. And I was hurting, y'all. And I didn't get to go on my deep sea fishing trip. And I was in bed, and I was starting to feel a little better, but I heard her voice in the next room. And I remember very distinctly the Holy Spirit say, you need to go to her and ask her to forgive you. I'm like, forgive me? She's the one with the mouth. And I was, you go. And so I got up and I went out there and I said, Esther, Jeremy, can I wanted her husband to be there. So it was, there was a witness. Let's be real. But I said, can I talk to you guys in private? And of course they were confused and walked in. I said, Esther, I need to ask you to forgive me of something. And they still looked very confused. And I said, years ago, Esther, you were talking to Charity about where I worked, and you made a comment that cut me to the core of my soul. Said, you said that you would not trust any man that worked at a daycare because that means that they're a pedophile. And you would have watched the color drain out of her face. And she's like, oh, Dave. And I said, I have carried bitterness from that, from the moment that my wife told me about that. And I probably should not have been told that, but it happened. And I said, and I have been carrying bitterness towards you for years, and I am done with it eating me alive. Can you ever please forgive me? Now, context of where she was as a human being, she had just gone through an ugly, ugly divorce. Ugly, ugly. And her outlook on men at that point in time was less than favorable. And I knew that. But I didn't have any grace for that. I didn't have any understanding of that. And she's like, I was just in such a dark place, Dave. Can you forgive me? And I said, yeah. And it was at that moment, I kid you not, it was at that moment, it was like 1,000-pound weight came off of my body. I was able to release it. But the thing was, she had no clue. Right? No clue. That bitterness, one of my mentors in life and my spiritual mom, Jeannie, always says, having bitterness is like allowing somebody to live rent-free in your mind. I was chained to her for years, and she had no clue why. She had no clue that I even knew about that statement, much less the ramifications of it. But it ate me up for years. I dreaded going to family things with my wife because if she's there, it's ruined for me. But it was at that moment when I was able to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, that's when the healing began. And it's been amazing. Maybe for you, releasing someone means choosing not to replay that conversation over and over again in your mind. Maybe it means praying for that person instead of punishing them in your mind. But all I know is when you release others, you're saying, God, I trust you with the justice. Right? With the justice. I trust you and I choose freedom. Because here's the thing. The word of God says that he is the righteous judge. Right? Not us. We don't get to judge. That's God's job. And I can promise you, as surely as I'm standing here, that he is going to be a better judge than you and I. And he is not going to say, nah, I'm not going to worry about that offense or that hurt or that whatever. He will deal with it. Because, and here's another thing that I know. Forgiveness isn't just a one-time act. It's a daily decision. I spent years despising her. But Dave, you were a pastor. No, I wasn't at that point. Or was I? Was I? I was. It just shows you that I'm not exempt. Years. And just because I asked her to forgive and just because I forgave her that day didn't mean that that didn't pop up in my mind again, because we have an enemy of our soul that loves to remind us of our past. And I had to forgive and forgive and forgive to where now it's not even an issue. But it was for a while. It's not a one-time deal. It's a daily decision. So every time that memory resurfaces, you get to release it again. Every time that pain reappears, you get to hand it back to God again. That's how you stay free. And the third principle that I want to talk about this morning is to refocus on Jesus. If you want to live unoffendable, you've got to keep your eyes on him. The writer of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And when our focus shifts from what people did to what Jesus did, the offense loses its grip. There's a story about a missionary who was constantly mistreated and falsely accused by the people in the community where he served. And one day a young believer came and asked him, "How do you stay calm when they lie about you like that?" And the missionary smiled and said, "Well, every time someone offends me, I picture Jesus hanging on the cross. And I remember he didn't defend himself. He just kept loving them." See, the secret, that's the secret in itself, right? You can't stay offended when your eyes are fixed on the one who forgave us for our sins on the cross. Think about Jesus. Let's think about him for a second. He was betrayed by a friend, right? He was abandoned by the disciples. The disciples denied him, mocked by the crowd and beaten by soldiers. And yet hanging on the cross in an unimaginable pain, he looked at those who crucified him, and what did he say? "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." Now, you could argue, well, he was God. Yeah, but he was man too. If he could forgive that, which in my opinion is way worse than anything you and I will ever experience in our lives. If he can forgive that, then through his Spirit living in us, we can too. Every time that you shift your focus from what they did to what he did, you step off the offense and into freedom. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty sweet deal, right? Take that one to the bank. And we remember that the goal isn't to be right. It's to be Christ-like. And when you and I live that way, our peace becomes untouchable. Untouchable. I know that there are many of you here today that have been hurt deeply. I get it. But you've been living in a prison for too long. Prison without bars. And as I wrap up this morning, I'm a little shorter because I want to do some things. I believe God wants to do some things. As I wrap up, I have one more thought. That when you receive grace and you release others and refocus on Jesus, you stop reacting like everyone else and start reflecting the heart of Christ. You become the kind of person that this angry, divided world desperately needs. Someone who refuses to be ruled by offense. So the next time an offense comes knocking, and it will, remember what Brant Hansen said in Unoffendable. You can be right or you can be free. Jesus is inviting you to be free. Being offended is not what Jesus died on the cross for. He died on the cross for our freedom. There's another story that I came across about a pastor who preached a message on forgiveness. Very much like this one. And after the service, a woman came up to him in tears and said, "Pastor, I've carried anger for 20 years. My ex-husband walked out on me and our kids, and I thought if I held my anger, I was holding on to justice. But all it's done is poisoned me, and I'm tired of being angry." And the pastor looked at her and said, "Then it's time to lay it down. It's time to lay it down." And he pointed to the cross at the front of the church and said, "That's where your offense belongs." Not in your hands, but in his. And right then and there, she walked to the altar, got on her knees, and whispered through tears, "Jesus, I'm done carrying this. It's yours." And in that moment, she said it felt like 1,000 pounds had been lifted off of her soul. Because that's what happens when you let it go. That's what happens when you stop trying to make people pay and let Jesus heal the wound. Some of you have been walking around carrying the weight of offense, bitterness towards a parent, anger towards an ex, resentment towards a friend, even disappointment with God. You've smiled on the outside, but deep down it's eating you alive. And today, Jesus is saying it's time to lay it down. The cross is where the offense belongs. That's where they go to die. That's where bitterness loses its power. That's where anger turns into peace. That's where the perpetually offended become permanently free. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to end this way different than probably I've ever have being a pastor here. In a few moments, the worship team is going to become singing softly a couple songs. And as they do, I want to invite you, no pressure, no hype, just honesty. If you've been carrying an offense, if there's someone you need to forgive or something that you need to release, would you come? Would you come to the altar and lay it at the foot of the cross and say, "Jesus, I'm done carrying this. I give it to you where it belongs." Would you come? Lay it down. Don't carry it out the doors. Freedom, family, is right here today. And if I would go on to say this, if you here today and you don't know Jesus, maybe you've never experienced his forgiveness, this is your moment too. Because the first step to living unoffendable is receiving the grace that only Jesus can give. He's not mad at you. God's not mad at you. He's not even disappointed in you. He's been waiting for you. So as we sing in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something brave. And here's the thing. It is going to be a little brave. And here's what I know is going to happen. It's going through your mind right now. As you're sitting here going, what are people going to think? What are people going to think? Who cares? I know that was aggressive. Your freedom is here. Will you come and kneel at these stairs? This is our altar. These stairs. And give it and release it to Jesus. Stop carrying the offense. Don't care about anybody else. They've got their own issues. They're not worried about you. They're worried about themselves. Will you come? If you need to forgive someone, come. If you need to be forgiven, come. If you just need peace, come. Let this be the day you stop being right and start being free.